Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Thursday to you. The weekend is almost here. Hope it's been a good week for you, but if not, I hope you've got some fun things planned for the weekend. Remember to schedule time to not have plans, to get some rest, take a deep breath, to do the things that strengthen your soul and your spirit. So get some exercise, get some rest, read a good book, do some of those things that minister to you. Well, I'm really glad you're listening today because I think God has something powerful for you today. We're going to look at the power of choices, good ones, bad ones, and others, sometimes made from fear. God can use our choices for his purposes, and he can release us from any guilt or regret that we're carrying. We're going to talk about that today. We'll carry that theme into the second hour when we talk about the power of grace. So here's my question for you to consider as this show unfolds today. Ready? This is for you. I'm talking to you. You ready? What past decision or choice still seems to plague you? What past decision or choice still seems to plague you? Well, my guest today has a word of encouragement for you. Here it is. She writes, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. It's time to stop living your life based on who you think you are, who other people say you are, or even who your mistakes reflect that you are, and grab hold of the truth of who you really are according to God's word. It's time to stop allowing yesterday's mistakes to weigh down your past, stifle your present, and hold you back from your future purpose. I'm going to read that last line again. It is time to stop allowing yesterday's mistakes to weigh down your past, stifle your present, and hold you back from your future purpose. Today is a perfect day to begin again, don't you think? Today's a perfect day to begin again. Let me tell you about my first hour guest, and we'll get her on the show. Tracy Miles is a member of the Proverbs 31 speaker and writer teams and enjoys speaking at women's events around the country. She also writes devotionals for Proverbs 31, encouragement for today, daily devotions. She lives in Charlotte, North Carolina with her husband Michael and three children, and you can find her influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Tracy, welcome to the program. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Well, we always love starting out our conversations talking scripture. Love the passage you chose today, Tracy, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans for good and not for harm, plans to give you a future and a hope. Talk about what that passage means to you.
Well, that passage has played out in my life in such an amazing way because for many years it was as if God kept sprinkling that scripture into my eyesight, into my heart, and for a long time I didn't even know what that scripture fully said. Almost embarrassed to admit that. But finally I'm like, gosh, God must really have something to say to me with this verse because it kept popping up. And once I realized how powerful of a promise that verse held, and I began to just really pray about that verse over time and over the years, God has just helped me see that he does have a plan and a purpose for every single one of us, and that we can have great hope for our future because of that. So it's a very important, I call it my life theme verse, very important scripture in my life.
You know, and I think the part about that not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future is so important when we're in seasons where we wonder, is God trying to harm me? My circumstances feel so contrary to what the word of God says. And we have to remember, even in those places, he's good, don't we?
We do, and that's very hard to do because we think, is God causing this? Why is he allowing it? You know, it's not fair. But in hindsight, and I think when we can look back and see something that happened a long time ago, but now we can see, hey, God did do something good. God was with me during that time, and he did have a purpose for that. It really helps us begin to understand, you know, the present things that we're dealing with that are difficult. It gives us a new perspective.
Indeed. Title of Tracy's book is Your Life Still Counts, How God Uses Your Past to Create a Beautiful Future. We've got four copies to give away, so I've got two questions for you unless you've got a question for Tracy. We're going to get into some of Tracy's backstory in just a moment. But is there a part of your past that continues to haunt you today? You can call anonymously. Tracy and I would love to stand with you and pray for you and help you untangle that thing so you can walk free today. Or maybe you can already say, this is how God has redeemed my past. I once was, but now I'm. This is a very hopeful book. We've got four copies, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Before we get into the crux of your story, where it was sort of one of those game-changing moments, give us some backstory on your faith journey, how you grew up, and how you came to Christ.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home, but we went to a church that it was more of a ritual than a relationship. And so I was saved as a young child. I remember that day, and I knew what I was, you know, what I was doing and accepting Jesus as my Savior. But it really wasn't until I was married and a mother of three children that I really had such an encounter with God that I realized, you know, it's the relationship with Him, that intimacy, that's going to change my life and that's going to really help my faith to come alive. So it's been a lifetime, really, of learning who I am to God and learning how to have that relationship with Him.
And just reading bits and pieces of your story, Tracy, there's evidences how God was wooing you the whole time. And I think that's true for all of us. We just miss it. But isn't that an amazing wonder when you look back over your shoulder and you think, He was wooing me the whole time?
It certainly is. And I have one, story that I share in the book of how I can see an entire timeline of orchestrated events that God did over my life.
So great. Well, you open the book and you tell a story about you standing in front of a mirror. I want you to tell us what that moment was like and why you were struggling internally.
The moment that I found Him.
The moment that you were standing in front of the mirror. You tell that story in the opening of the book, and you were standing in front of the mirror. Talk about what was going on for you at that point.
I'm so sorry. I've got a tickle in my throat.
Yeah, it's okay.
There were just so many years that I really didn't understand who I was in God growing up. But the time that I found myself that you're referring to that I talk about in the book, of really staring at myself in the mirror thinking, who are you and what have you become and why have you made these mistakes and why are you such a disappointment to your parents and to God and to everyone, to yourself, was that I had found myself in a teenage pregnancy. And it just completely, you know, shook my foundation to the core and really made me stop and take a look at who I was and who I thought I was. And at the time, I didn't understand who I was in God's eyes.
And so you connected with your boyfriend. You gave him the news. And tell us, take it from there.
Well, we kept our secret shame a secret. And instead of seeking godly counsel, talking to my parents, or even counsel from friends, I just made the decision that, you know, we needed to terminate this pregnancy. And this, my boyfriend was in agreement with that. We were both just scared and afraid and, you know, like so many young kids are, just didn't know how to make the right decision for fear of what the future consequences would be. So we made a very tragic choice to end that pregnancy at that time.
And if you can, I'm sure you can remember looking back, especially knowing what you know now, looking through the lens that you're looking through now, what would you say some of the lies that that young girl, that was you, believed at that time?
Well, at that time, I thought some of the normal things that a young girl would think is, you know, I've just finished 1 year of college. I'm not going to be able to get my degree. And will my boyfriend marry me? And is it going to work out? What will my parents think? I was really concerned with the short-term consequences. And then, of course, the people that work at these types of clinics, you know, give us lots of other lies and tell us, we can take care of that problem for you. You won't have to think about it anymore. And so I bought into all of those lies as well, which I, you know, soon realized that none of them were truth and none of them were something that was pleasing to God.
You know, something I've learned over the years is some of our worst choices are short-term solutions, you know. And you think about it, when we're trying to get through the moment, we give up our birthright for a bowl of soup over and over again, you know.
Right.
And boy, Lord, help us to think long. Well, you also describe walking out of that clinic, you weren't able to just forget about it. Talk about what you were feeling, what kind of emotions were rising up in you during that time.
Well, the emotions were really overwhelming. And I had such overwhelming emotions before I even went through with that appointment. And looking back is just another example of, I can see how God orchestrated people that I spoke to, words that were spoken to me. And I think He gave me so many opportunities to turn around and run away from there as fast as I could and just to make that right choice. But, you know, unfortunately, I was just deceived and afraid and really not secure in my relationship with God. So when I walked out of that clinic, one thing I always say is I looked exactly the same on the outside as I did when I walked in. But when I walked out, I looked completely different on the inside because my heart was just so scarred from the choice that I had made from the very second it happened.
And here's a quote from your book. You said, "As I stepped out of the dark clinic and back into the daylight, the realization of what I'd done slapped me across the face with such force it caused me to physically stumble. Instantly, I latched onto Satan's lie that God would never forgive me nor love me ever again. I would just have to accept the fact that my life would no longer matter to God. And that separation from him was my deserved fate. I knew I had no right to argue, so I didn't." You sure can see how that enemy would say, you know, since that life didn't matter to you, your life doesn't matter to God. How long did you go believing that and kind of living under that self-condemnation?
Well, unfortunately, I went far, far too long, way too many years, at least 14 years. And I know that God was working on my heart over those 14 years, but I just simply could not really forgive myself, and I could not fathom that God would really forgive any of us for making, you know, any mistake, but much less one that I saw as just so huge that it was just the unforgivable, you know, unpardonable sin.
And so what did you say, 14 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Was there a time when you truly just repented? Was it right after? Did you just couldn't go near God and talk about it? When did that place happen where you were like, God in heaven, I've made this tragic choice. Would you please forgive me? Do you remember doing that?
I did it every day from that point forward.
And isn't that
every
so typical?
Night, every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't afraid to ask. I was just afraid to believe that he could really grant that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, many Christians, you know, unbelievers for that matter, walk around with a sense of self-loathing and self-hatred. And we live in these kind of private prisons of self-condemnation. We keep ourselves in there as if we have to pay for our sin all over again. But the thing is, we don't have to. And I want to know when that light of mercy and redemption came to you and how it did.
Well, it came to me, God works on our hearts and prepares us for these types of encounters, but I had an encounter with God that I didn't even know was possible. And after these 14 years had gone by, I had gotten married, I had already had three young children, and so, you know, life had moved on, and I had just tried to keep that, but that shame, you know, I just kept it in my heart all the time. That burden was always there, even though I now had three precious children with my husband. But I went to church one day just for a ladies' seminar. We were going to spend half a day eating some fruit and refreshments and just having a nice day out. But God had an extraordinary thing planned. And as I sat and listened to the speaker, and this is a story I also share in the book, is that I listened to the speaker begin sharing her story. And I just thought it'd be, you know, a nice little message and we would get something beneficial out of it. But her story just changed my life, and the words that she spoke were words that I had never even allowed myself to consider speaking. And she shared her testimony and a lot of the things that had happened to her, including one of which was having an abortion. And I just began to feel my heart just breaking in two, because it was as if God was saying, you know, you're not the only one that has dealt with this situation. And I began to ask God, well, if you can forgive her and use her and love her, can you forgive me and use me and love me? And it was just really in that moment that I just felt that huge weight lifted from my shoulders. I had asked for forgiveness, like I said, for years, every single day. But this particular experience with Christ changed my life. From that second forward, it changed me completely.
And Tracy, at what point did you tell your parents? And did you, and two questions, I guess. Also, marrying your hubby, did he know, or did that kind of come up later?
He was actually the person I was dating in college.
Wow.
So it was a secret shame that we both carried for many years.
So I have more questions around that, but how about your parents?
My parents actually did not know about it until God called me to write about it.
And how did that go, that conversation?
It was difficult. It was very difficult because I didn't want to hurt them or disappoint them and my in-laws. You know, we had really two families involved here. And even today on my blog, I had someone ask a question. You know, I feel like God is calling me to share this experience, but I know that it might hurt people in my family or it might hurt them to know that I was hurt in such a way. But I really feel like when God opens that door and says, I'm calling you to share this, I'm calling you to, you know, let me use this evil for something good, that he also protects the hearts and lives of those that, you know, that we that we have in our life. So I think he doesn't call us all to do the exact same thing, but it's just a process that he takes us through when he, you know, when something like that happens.
Well, and I've heard about the impact of the man. Did your hubby go through a grief time? You know, what was his process like, and did that happen at a different time than you?
Well, I think it did happen at a different time. And, you know, we were young teenagers and in college. So as far as what he went through, you know, in the short time or a couple years after, it's not something we ever really talked about. Neither one of us wanted to acknowledge it or talk about it, you know, just tried to kind of push it under the rug. But years later, it did come out in our relationships, in our relationship and in conversations and arguments at times. So, you know, it was always still kind of tucked in there, and it was something we both really had to pray about and deal with and just let God, you know, start really taking control of both of our hearts.
877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Are you plagued by a past decision? Does that enemy keep throwing it in your face? Even though you're a Christian, you can't come out from underneath the condemnation. We'd sure love to stand with you today. Or maybe you've got a question just about this process, about how God uses your past to create a beautiful future. We want to help you and encourage you today. I'm talking to Tracy Miles. We've got four copies of her book, Your Life Still Counts. 877-933-2484, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We've got Renee checking in from Blaine, Minnesota. Renee, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Absolutely. What's going on today?
Well, I'm having a lot of trouble kind of letting go of the past. I've been working on myself. I was in a relationship for close to a decade with a gentleman, and I found out he was having an affair at work. And I've been trying to move on now. It's been about 2 years, but it's been a struggle getting child support. And he's not been in our son's life for over a year. And so I feel like on my part, I'm doing what I can, going to church and just filling my head up with good stuff. But just having trouble letting go of the past, because I feel like it just kind of keeps plaguing me.
Mm. What do you say, Tracy? Thanks, Renee, so much for sharing.
Well, no matter what our past holds, whether it's a relationship or a sin or something that was done to us, you know, it's really hard to let those things go. So what, I mean, the only thing that I can suggest, because I know that it certainly helped me, was just to, on a daily basis, say, God, help me to, you know, help me to let this go. Help me to lay it at your feet and not to keep picking it back up, because that's what we want to do. It's hard to really cut the cord when it comes to things that are so near and dear to our hearts or that have been very, very difficult. So I think it's just a daily surrender of, Lord, help me believe how much you love me, that you have a purpose for this, and that you can carry this burden for me.
And Renee, too, I'd say, maybe you're already doing this, but pray for him. And I know that seems so hard and even at times unjust because you're feeling victimized by him, so to speak. But as you pray for him and doing what Tracy says, I think it's easier to forgive people we are praying for. And so is it okay, Renee, if Tracy prays for you right now?
Oh, my gosh, I would love that so much.
We love that, too. Tracy, would you mind?
I will. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift up this precious, beloved child of yours right now, Lord, and you know the struggles that she is dealing with. You know the burdens she carries. You know how hard it is to forgive someone when they are not doing what we know should be done, or when they are doing things that hurt us or the people that we love, Lord. And I just ask you to give her the strength and the courage and the ability to really just turn those things over to you, Lord, and just trust that you have a plan and a purpose, and also to give her just the ability to forgive this person, that not because they deserve it, but because she deserves to be free in you and from anything that's holding her back and keeping her heart in bondage, Lord. And we just lift her up in your name. Amen. Mm.
And Lord, I too just thank you that anything that Renee's missing, anything that's been stolen or taken, any gaps that she has because of this man's choices, that as she looks up, she'd find it more than fulfilled in you, that you, God, are the father to the fatherless. You are the groom to the widow. You're the person who puts lonely people in families. So I thank you that you are Renee's, and she is yours, and your banner over her is love, and you will establish her and her your best purposes for her. I pray that she'd start to get a sense the more she lets go of this offense, and it's a legitimate offense, but as she lets it go and entrusts justice to you, she would start to see the harvest and the promised land that you're leading her to, which is far better than hanging on to this thing. I just pray grace to let it go and faith to lay hold of what you have in Jesus' name. God bless you,
Thank
Renee.
Thank you so much. Mm. Thank you.
You are a dear, dear soul. And you're going to love Tracy's book. We'll get a copy to you, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. God bless you.
Thank you, Renee. 877-933-2484.
So anonymous caller, they didn't want to get on the air, but said, I had an extramarital affair about 20 years ago. I'm still having trouble forgiving myself. Can Tracy give me some words of encouragement? What do you say?
Well, one of the things in my book that I've done is I collected a compilation of stories of women and the things that God has used for purposes. And one of the things is, you know, they had affairs. They had some kind of unfaithful situation. They had, you know, their husband did something or whatever it was. It could be divorce. It could be an illness. It could be a sin they committed. All of these things, even though they're all different for each of us, are what the devil wants to keep using to convince us that we are not worthy of God's love. And so no matter what it is, he wants to keep us thinking, you're unforgivable, you're unusable, you're unlovable. And so what I would say to this person is just to, even if you have to speak it out loud, say, I do believe that I am a child of God, that I am loved, and that I am beautiful, and that I am forgiven. And just really ask for him to help you not necessarily forgive yourself, because, you know, only God has the power to forgive. But we have the power to choose, are we going to wallow in the past, or are we going to let God really free us from that?
Mm-hmm. You know, Brennan Manning calls that accepting acceptance. And to that anonymous caller, the next hour, we're going to talk about the scandalous nature of grace. And, you know, Tracy, you think about it. Jesus says to go visit people in prison. I'm convinced it's because people are so near to grace and need grace, because that's such a last stop for so many people. And that's where they're tenderized and open to grace. So that anonymous friend calling, you know, you've had this extramarital affair 20 years ago. This is where grace is scandalous, and God wants to, he's carried that thing for you and he's paid for it. And I pray you can just start again. So really appreciate your call. I know that's a tough one. A tough one to even talk about. Talk about that process. You know, you said we don't really have to forgive ourselves, but there seems like we have to go through a process of entrusting ourselves, at least. Maybe it's semantics, I don't know. But there, especially for people who live with self-loathing and, you know, self-hatred, there's got to be a point where they entrust their soul to the Lord. Maybe talk to the people that are listening who are stuck in that and can't seem to get to that place.
Well, it would be so nice if there was like a five-step process to being able to get to that point, to where we can, you know, just really let ourselves off the hook and stop beating ourselves up every day for the things that we can't change. But really just walking with God every day. I know it took a period of, you know, 15 years of me trying to increase my faith and trying to get involved in Bible studies and learn to read the Word and to pray and to get involved with other sisters in Christ. And it was each of those things that really helped me to begin to believe in God's promises. And I really think it's just a journey, a different journey for each one of us.
Excellent. Listener Brent wrote in, said, Susie, I heard this quote today and it follows along well with this topic. Thought you might enjoy it. This is going on the bathroom mirror tonight. It spoke to me. This is from our friend Ann Voskamp. She writes, no amount of regret will change the past. No amount of anxiety will change the future. But any amount of gratitude will change the present. Isn't that fantastic?
That is.
Love
that
it so much. Wow. Well, you write about knowing the promises of God and how that can bring us freedom. We literally have probably a minute before we have to take a break. But maybe list one. Give me one verse, one promise that you hung on to during those stormy times.
Well, Romans 8:28 is another one of my all-time favorites. And it is the promise that no matter what has happened, no matter what we've done or what has been done to us, that God can use it for something good. And that just gives us such a hope that he can redeem even those things that we think are just not redeemable or not usable. And it really helps us have a stronger peace, I think, that surpasses that understanding that, you know, that he is sovereign and that he can use all things. It's a promise.
Yeah. Corey Timboom says, no pain is so deep that God's love's not deeper still. We need to take a quick short break. So Barb from Wilmer, I hope you can hold on the line. I see you there. I want you to get your question answered and get a copy of Tracy's book. Our bottom of the hour break here is just like a couple minutes. So hang in there if you can. But Barb, if not, I think I have a sense of your question. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Brent, thanks for emailing in that Ann Voskamp quote. Fantastic. And don't go away. We'll be right back. Do you believe that? He will finish what he's begun. I just love music, as you probably know if you listen often enough. So if you're in one of those not yet seasons, rebuilding, maybe still brokenhearted about some of the pieces that are in your hands that are you don't know how will ever be put back together, Stephen Curtis Chapman's album, Glorious Unfolding, will minister to your heart like nothing else will. So check it out, because it just sang me right out of a valley of the shadow. Talking to Tracy Miles today, the title of her book is Your Life Still Counts, How God Uses Your Past to Create a Beautiful Future. And if your past is plaguing you and you want to get free, you want to start new today, call us and we'll stand with you and pray with you. Or maybe God has untangled your fears in your past and you've got a testimony that could help somebody else. Probably one of my favorite things about you is the way that you help each other, that we're in this together, we're fellow travelers, and we're teaching each other. It's one of my favorite things. So if you've got a story, you're going to encourage somebody listening today. 877-933-2484. Barb decided to hold and hang on, and I'm so glad. Calling in from Wilmer, Minnesota. Barb, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate your subject matter today and the heart of the speaker. My question is, it seems like she's been able to stay pretty steadfast, and I'm assuming other than prayer and looking at the Word, I was wondering if she had spiritual mentors come in to her life through this journey and what that looked like, and if she could talk about that process a little bit.
Great question, Barb. What do you say, Tracy?
Well, I think God definitely intersected my life with a lot of spiritual mentors. My husband and I have been going to the same church for 20 years, so there was a lot of ladies in that church that certainly walked along beside me. Just, you know, not anything specific, but just as I watched them from afar and watched their love for the Lord and for His Word, and I really felt God pulling me into women's ministry. Several years after I had heard God's call, you know, and understood His forgiveness. And so that also worked on me a lot and really taught me a lot and drew me closer to God. There's several pastors, even on TV, that have ministered to me greatly, and also especially Proverbs 31 Ministries, because one of the speakers that came that's, you know, affiliated with Proverbs that was at this event that was so life-changing for me was from Proverbs 31. And so since that day, which was so many years ago now, I have been following Proverbs 31 and engaging with those ladies and getting the devotions every day, and that has just made the most tremendous impact on my faith walk ever. It was as if God sent me an email every day with those devotions. So there's so many women that I could give credit to for really walking with me through this journey.
And now you're writing those devotions. Barb, did you have any other questions for Tracy?
No, great answer, and just, I guess, reminding me of how much we need each other.
We
so
do.
Desperately need the Lord, but we need each other. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, lady.
Thanks, Barb.
Great point, Barb. God bless you, dear. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Well, Tracy, you spent some time unpacking the book of Isaiah and God's promises of renewal, and especially chapters 43 through 47. And here's a portion from that book. I love this, and maybe you've heard it before, but I pray you'll hear it again for the first time. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. Listen to this. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God. I mean, that puts fire in my bones reading that. Talk about what it means, Tracy, for God to do a new thing in our lives and to be with us when the waters are rising, when the fires seem hot. What does he mean when he's saying this to us?
Well, for me, what God did as far as a new thing was that he helped me realize that, you know, my past did not have to define me, that instead it was part of who I am because he, you know, was with me during that time. So rather than thinking, well, I'm just, you know, I'm just a summary of my mistakes, I'm just a synopsis of everything that's happened, and I would let all of those things make me think that I couldn't be valuable and that God couldn't use me for any reason. So God really helped me embrace that I was a new creation in him when I let go of all those things that I felt made me unworthy. And once I accepted his forgiveness and I heard him call me to go and share my story, I didn't want to do that for a lot of years, but once I did that, even for the first time, God just did something in me that that mm-hmm. I really can't even put into words. And it just helped me to see that, you know, I am a new creation, and he has created me for a specific purpose and in his image. And it was just really exciting to see that he took, you know, all that old stuff from the past and just transformed it and redeemed it and gave it new life and gave me new life in my just in my everyday living and the things that I wanted to pursue.
Well, you know, God is a God of multiplication. I mean, he takes whatever it is we give him and he multiplies it because he's such an efficient God. And when you think that you're benefiting from those devos from Proverbs 31, as Barb asked you about, and now you're turning around and sowing all kinds of seeds that people are benefiting from, that is God's brilliant, amazing plan. He saves a soul. He redeems our story. And when we dare to start talking about it, something deeper gets healed in us. And then others look up and go, just like you did, if it could happen for her, it could happen for me. I mean, the power of a testimony is just so important. And I want you to just talk about that, how maybe your legs underneath you have been strengthened every time you step out and say, this is who I was, this is who God is, and this is who I am now. I mean, what happens in you when you're able to do that?
It is just a newfound freedom, and it really just restores our confidence, because the devil wants us to continue reminding ourselves how we've messed up or continue reminding ourselves of what someone might have done to us or in our life or why we shouldn't forgive them, and that becomes a wall between us and what God wants to do in us. So it's just so exciting when we realize that God truly can use what has happened in our life to not only help others, but just to help us heal. And I've experienced that, just like you said, is the deepest healing that I've ever experienced came after I said, okay, Lord, I really wanted to keep this a secret, and I really am ashamed that this happened in my life. But when I was willing to talk about it, God just opened my eyes to see that I was so much more than my past, that I was so much more than a mistake. And it creates our own, we think that we're doing it just for someone else. We want to glorify God, but God also wants to heal us so much deeper when we're willing to obey and share the stories that he, you know, has orchestrated throughout our lifetime.
And I couldn't agree with you more about the power of speaking out the truth in the face of lies that threaten to strangle us from the inside. You know, I was raised in an amazing family, great siblings, loving parents, but things happened outside of that dynamic at the hands of different boys. I mean, opened up a canyon of insecurity and self-hatred and self-loathing in me. And it wasn't until I had to stand up on my own as a young adult mom, wife, to say, in the name of Jesus, I reject rejection. I accept acceptance. I am his and he is mine. Because the Bible does say faith comes from hearing. And I think if you've played those tapes internally for so long, the only thing that's louder than them is your own voice speaking God's word that trumps mm-hmm. that thing, you know, and there is power in that. And I, if you're listening today, I challenge you to say, I reject rejection. I accept acceptance because I can in Jesus Christ. And do you speak to your soul like that when you need to? I mean, how does that work for you?
Well, I certainly do. You don't want to tell anybody you do that.
Yeah, I just put you on
that. I mean, we do have to remind ourselves. And, you know, there's so many things in this world that we cannot control. We cannot control what other people think or what they say or what they do. We can't control what's happened in the past. But we always have control over our own thoughts. And we can decide that our thoughts are going to be based on God's word and what his word says about us. Or we can, you know, let our thoughts be negative and based on, you know, the exterior things and criticisms and our own insecurities. So we just have to make a conscious choice every day. Like you said, we are going to reject what the enemy says, and we are going to accept what God's word says no matter what, and just remind ourselves daily that, you know, that we are so much more than even the world thinks we are. We are beautiful and priceless in his eyes because of who he is.
Hmm. And speaking to that, you have actually a chapter titled Listening to the Right Voice. And I want you to talk about how you learn to distinguish the voice of God from the voice of the enemy. Because sometimes when you're in the muck and mire, it's easy to mistake those two. So how did you learn to distinguish those two?
Well, hearing from God can be a mystery, and that's one of the questions I get all the time, and I'm certainly not the hearing from God expert, but I have learned that, you know, I can read, when I read his word, and then I feel like I just keep being pulled back to a passage, and God just keeps bringing something to mind that's in my heart, that's okay, God is trying to give me this pattern, so he's telling me that, you know, he has something to say, and I want to listen to that. And so there's just so many ways that we can hear from God, but one thing that I think is most critical is that we need to make sure that whatever it is that we are believing we are hearing, can be backed up in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it can't, then it's not from God. So that's just one little tip that we can always go back to. Okay, is what I'm thinking about myself or my past or my future, does that line up with something in God's Word? And if not, then we might be listening to the wrong voice.
Yeah, it's so good. And a side note, too, if you're hearing inner voices that say words like idiot and you did it again and breathing a heavy sigh and eye roll, that's not from God either. And it's,
right.
I think the true thing is God, even when he brings conviction, there's life in it. And we know it. When he brings correction, there's life in it. Or the enemy pushes us down, the Lord always is calling us up. Love that.
Right. The devil brings condemnation.
Yes,
God might bring conviction, but he loves us no matter what.
So you end every chapter with a story of a different woman. Are there any stories that stand out to you in this book that just sort of encourage your soul that you'd like to share with us?
Well, they're all so amazing. People ask me that, and it's so hard to pick just one because everyone is different. One, you know, woman struggles with a disability, and that has made her feel less than or unnecessary, you know, like she doesn't really have a purpose. And then others have had experiences that have happened to them. So, you know, there's just so many different stories that it is hard to pick one. But what is amazing is that the commonality that all of these stories have is that they not only share, okay, this happened to me, or this is something I struggle with, but they share, and I can see how God is using it. And that is so powerful to see, you know, that God can use all things. And there's so many different stories that I know whoever reads the book will be able to see themselves or some kind of similarity between their life and one of these ladies. And, you know, and just really get a glimpse of hope that God can use them and that he loves them.
You know, I think about Paul, just one of the fiercest men of faith, you know, that ever walked the planet. You can imagine as he came to Christ in those early days, the condemnation that must have come at him because he persecuted and killed Christians. And he had to learn and stand, you know, that his hope was in God. He looks forward to what lies ahead, not focusing on what's behind. I mean, how long did it take for you to repeatedly put that shield up, shut down that enemy's condemnation before you walked more free of it? I mean, and does it still come up for you? I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Was it kind of a battle at first? And how long did it take you to put that enemy under your feet?
Well, it initially took me those full 14 years,
yeah.
You know, after that teenage crisis pregnancy, and then to the time when God had me sitting in that church and I heard his voice loud and clear telling me to go and share my story, which I, of course, said, no, I don't want to do that, Lord. And then it was another 5 years after I had that encounter with God that I finally got to the point to where I was tired of running away from his call and running away from what I thought he might be, you know, how he might want to use my past for a specific purpose, and really just saying, okay, Lord, I'm just going to give it all to you, and I just want you to do with it what you have planned. And so it took a while.
And so, but once you made that turnaround, did the condemning voices come after that, or were you able just to turn your back on him?
Well, I think they're going to, well, we know that they're going to come every single day. I mean, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's not going to give up just because we said, yes, Lord, you know, or yes, I know you love me, Lord, because actually when we start living our lives more for Christ, he's going to come after us even harder. So we just have to be so grounded in our faith and grounded in Scripture and, you know, surround ourselves with people that are believers and that will encourage us and help us walk through hard times, because we are always going to be imminent prey, especially if we are trying to live out loud for the Lord.
I totally agree. But I will say, on the side of that, though, there is something about when we stand enough against a particular lie, it loses its power in our lives. And I've heard that from other stories and other people, and from me as well, where he comes at you because he knows he has a mark. But when you don't let him condemn you for that particular act anymore, it loses its luster, I just feel like. And he might try to come every once in a while, but I just sort of notice that it's like when we know our identity in that particular area, it's almost like we become bulletproof. He'll try to come against us, but it doesn't disable us or disarm us like it used to. That's kind of what I was getting at, where you learn how to stand against that particular lie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right, and especially with regards to with the topic of abortion. And you know, people will say, well, I don't know how you can share that, or I don't know how you have such a peace about it. And honestly, it's only because of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because even after I was sharing my story at speaking events and then in this book, you know, I regret that happened, but I also know that God has done great things with it. And so although it's still hard to share, I do not, when it comes to that particular situation, the devil cannot convince me ever again that that is going to separate me from God.
And that was my point.
So in that respect to what you're saying, you're exactly right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's a quote from your book. You said, God is ready to move in your heart so you can be freed and transformed and make your first move towards his purpose for you. He's eager to cleanse your heart with his love and grace and wash you white as snow. He's ready to free you from the remorse, shame, and sadness of your past if you're ready to be freed. And again, that's just exactly what we're talking about. He's ready. If you're ready. Talk about that last part of that statement, if you're ready.
Well, I think we're all ready. We just don't know how to really get there. We don't know how to accept it. And so for anyone that might be listening to this program and they're thinking in their minds, I want to be free. I want to let those burdens go, and I want to stop beating myself up and listening to that negativity and that condemnation, then their hearts are ready. We just have to ask the Lord to really come in and cleanse us of that. And it's so easy to say, you know, just to pray about it or whatever, but even if it's just getting on our face, getting down on our knees, on our face, and saying, God, I will not carry this anymore because I'm turning it over to you. And when our hearts are ready to just turn it over to him, he is more than ready to take it.
Mm. And in the book, too, Tracy, you share the story about Corrie Ten Boom and her experience in the concentration camp during World War II. And you tell the story about the fleas and how it illustrates this idea of God using all things for the good. Tell that story, if you would.
Well, basically, she and her sister were put in this concentration camp, and they were in this room where there was, you know, hay, and there was all kinds of fleas, and they were just eaten up alive all the time by the fleas, and it was so hard to find any purpose in what they were going through. But what they realized was that as they began to continue to thank God for the situation, even though it was really hard and they could almost find no reason to be thankful, is that they realized that the guards did not bother them. And they couldn't figure out for the longest time why the guards let them continue to, you know, read the word and have these worship services within the confines of this camp. And then one day it dawned on them that they didn't want to get bitten by the fleas. So in essence, it was these fleas, these thorns in their side, these really, really difficult hardships they were having to go through, is what empowered them to be able to reach so many women with the Word of God.
Excellent story. Love that. And so often we can complain about the very things that God may be using for our protection. We just don't know it. I've just got a couple more questions before we pray and hear a song from Stephen Curtis Chapman. But when you think about when we come clean with things from our past, church needs to be a safe place. I want you just to speak to that because, you know, there are a fair share of finger pointers in the body of Christ. And yet when you're trying to take the step of courage to say, this is who I once was, or even harder, this is who I am, talk about how we as God's people need to receive people who need saving just as much as we needed saving.
Well, our human nature is to judge and to point fingers, even if we are, you know, women of God or believers. Sometimes it's hard not to do that, but I think we really need to pray for God to give us just an open heart so that we can see people the way that he sees people and, you know, really be able to see through his eyes and his perspective instead of from our own personal judgment or opinions or even from the world's opinions. Because once we can do that, I think we can really begin to love people for who they are. And once people realize that they can share without judgment, then it just opens up a whole new world and changes everything in all of our relationships.
And this is just such a good reminder that if we've not committed the sin, we're capable of committing the sin. And boy, Lord, help us be a people that welcome sinners because we are one, you know,
right.
So that people can be a work in progress and that redemption can happen and they are free to be a work in progress. Here's a final quote from your book. You said, I made a commitment to stop living in the shadows of my past and start living in the light of my Savior, to never let my past mistakes define who I am, but to believe I'm a treasure in God's eyes. Wondering if you would just speak to that person listening who wants to be where you're at, who wants to live in the light of their Savior versus the shadow of their past, and how do they take those first steps to believe that they are God's treasure?
Well, one of the first things that we need to really remember is that we do not have to be perfect to be priceless. And nobody in history and no one living today is perfect. But we are all priceless in God's eyes. And if we just lay down that burden to the Lord and say, Lord, this happened or I went through this, but will you cleanse me of it? I accept your forgiveness. I accept your acceptance. And I want you to help me learn to walk with you more closely every day. And it's through that gradual walking with God and letting him heal our heart just one stitch at a time that we'll really begin to embrace, you know, who we are in Christ and be able to put the past in the past, but also view it as a foundation for the great things that God wants to use us for. Because everything that's happened to us has somehow equipped us to comfort or minister to someone else. The Bible tells us that, you know, the way he's comforted us, we can now use to comfort others. And when we allow him to use us in that way, it brings on an entire new level of healing and redemption and purpose.
Well, how can we pray for you, Tracy, in the days ahead in your ministry?
Well, I have had a very busy spring speaking schedule, and that continues this month, four events coming up in the next few weekends. And really just that God would continue to give me the words and to protect my family and, you know, to bless the ministry of Proverbs 31 and the ministry that he's called me to.
Appreciate that so much. One last question before we pray. Tell me what you're, I mean, we've been talking about it and unpacking the content and the whole redemptive hope that we have in Jesus. Any other takeaways you want to make sure readers get when they read your book?
Well, one of the key phrases that this book is really about is, you know, not only embracing who we are in Christ and being willing to accept his forgiveness, but to recognize that our past serves a purpose. And that we are all equipped for a divine purpose, not despite our past, but many times because of our past. So not to look at things that happened and say there was no purpose in that, because Romans 8:28 again says all things can be used to the glory of God. All we have to do is open the door to our hearts for him to make that a reality.
So good. Well, we're going to pause and pray now. And just a reminder, you don't have to be perfect to be priceless. You're already priceless. God has already sold on the idea of you. As we wrap up, I'm wondering if you pray for that person listening, Tracy, that is just bound by self-loathing, regret, shame. Would you pray for that particular person listening right now?
Lord, whoever that person is that is feeling as if they are beyond repair, they are damaged goods, they have done far too much in their life to ever be forgiven or to be treasured or valued by you, Lord, I just ask today that you would cleanse their hearts, that you would wipe away all of those lies, and that you would protect their hearts and their minds from listening to that condemnation from the devil, Lord. Just give them a new joy about who they are and help them understand that they are priceless and they are valuable and that you have a special purpose for them and that they and their life matters to you so much, and that's why you sent your son to die on the cross for us, because we were worth that sacrifice. And Lord, I just ask you to give them a peace and an excitement and enthusiasm about what you have in store for them in the future.
And here's a passage from 2 Corinthians 5 verses 14 to 21. Listen to this. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we've all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they'll live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. The old life has gone away. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we say, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Dear Tracy, thank you for joining us today. It's been a sweet conversation. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
God bless you. Let's listen to this part of Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Take two steps forward, three steps back, on a journey of 1,000 miles. And you cry and you pray, but you know at this pace, you never will arrive. Well, I know in your heart, you believed from the start, God had a purpose he knit you together for. But life has pulled at the seams, and you're unraveling. You can't hold it together anymore, but God will.
finish what he started. No thread will be left unwoven. Nothing will be left undone. Every plan and every purpose that he has will be accomplished. It may feel like 40 long days in a hard drive to me, or 40 years in the dry desert sand. But when he's finished, we'll see a beautiful tapestry and know that nothing has been wasted in the end. Oh, and God will, he will finish what he started. No thread will be
song. I sure do. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Coming up hour two, we're going to talk about grace. So I hope you can hang with us another powerful hour. Up next, God is with you. He loves you, and he's going to finish what he started.